Testimony Treasures, Volume 1, Chapter 96, A Lesson in Humility. Jesus, the dear Savior, has given marked lessons in humility to all, but especially to the gospel minister. In his humiliation, when his work upon earth was nearly finished, and he was about to return to his Father's throne whence he had come, with all power in his hands and all glory upon his head, among his last lessons to his disciples was one upon the importance of humility. While his disciples were contending as to who should be greatest in the promised kingdom, he girded himself as a servant and washed the feet of those who called him Lord and Master. His ministry was nearly completed. He had only a few more lessons to impart. And that they might never forget the humility of the pure and spotless Lamb of God, the great and efficacious sacrifice for man humbled himself to wash the feet of his disciples. It will do you good, and our ministers generally, to frequently review the closing scenes in the life of our Redeemer. Here, beset with temptations as he was, we may all learn lessons of the utmost importance to us. It would be well to spend a thoughtful hour each day reviewing the life of Christ from the manger to Calvary. We should take it point by point and let the imagination vividly grasp each scene, especially the closing ones of his earthly life. By thus contemplating his teachings and sufferings, and the infinite sacrifice made by him for the redemption of the race, we may strengthen our faith, quicken our love, and become more deeply imbued with the Spirit which sustained our Savior. If we would be saved at last, we must all learn the lesson of penitence and faith at the foot of the cross. Christ suffered humiliation to save us from everlasting disgrace. He consented to have scorn, mockery, and abuse fall upon him in order to shield us. It was our transgression that gathered the veil of darkness about his divine soul and extorted the cry from him as of one smitten and forsaken of God. He bore our sorrows. He was put to grief for our sins. He made himself an offering for sin, that we might be justified before God through him. Everything noble and generous in man will respond to the contemplation of Christ upon the cross. I long to see our ministers dwell more upon the cross of Christ, their own hearts meanwhile softened and subdued by the Savior's matchless love which prompted that infinite sacrifice. If, in connection with the theory of the truth, our ministers would dwell more upon practical godliness, speaking from a heart imbued with the Spirit of truth, we should see many more souls flocking to the standard of truth. Their hearts would be touched by the pleadings of the cross of Christ, the infinite generosity and pity of Jesus in suffering for man. These vital subjects, in connection with the doctrinal points of our faith, would effect much good among the people. But the heart of the teacher must be filled with the experimental knowledge of the love of Christ. The mighty argument of the cross will convict of sin. The divine love of God for sinners, expressed in the gift of his Son to suffer shame and death that they might be ennobled and endowed with everlasting life, is the study of a lifetime. I ask you to study anew the cross of Christ. If all the proud and vainglorious, whose hearts are panting for the applause of men and for distinction above their fellows, could rightly estimate the value of the highest earthly glory in contrast with the value of the Son of God, rejected, despised, spit upon by the very ones whom he came to redeem, how insignificant would appear all the honor that finite man can bestow. Duties are laid down in God's Word, the performance of which will keep the people of God humble and separate from the world and from backsliding, like the nominal churches. The washing of feet and partaking of the Lord's Supper should be more frequently practiced. Jesus set us the example and told us to do as he had done. I saw that his example should be as exactly followed as possible. Yet, brethren and sisters have not always moved as judiciously as they should in washing feet, and confusion has been caused. It should be introduced into new places with carefulness and wisdom, especially where the people are not informed relative to the example and teachings of our Lord on this point, and where they have prejudice against it. Many honest souls, through the influence of former teachers in whom they had confidence, are much prejudiced against this plain duty, and the subject should be introduced to them in a proper time and manner.